My name's Andrew Staley. I'm the vicar here in Tisbury and in the western part of the Nadder Valley. I went recently on a mission trip to South Sudan to the Diocese of Kejukeji with a CRESS team led by Caroline Lamb. CRESS stands for Christian Relief and Education for South Sudan. I'm sure most people have heard about South Sudan in the news. I was way in the south, right at the border of Uganda, which is about as far south as you can get in Sudan. And we were in a diocese that has been relatively stable. I had been there 3 years ago, and the war had just been over for some years, and now it was beginning to get a little stable. This year, when we went back, there were more motorbikes, cars, the houses, there were more brick-built or stone-built houses, breeze block mostly, along with the traditional tukus, which are the round houses that, with thatched roofs. But there were more of them, and everything seemed a bit more stable, and people committed to getting on with life. And certainly in the shops in the village, which is pretty rough, first of all, the shops were, again, solid. And second of all, there was a lot more produce in shops to sell. And so there must be some money that's coming in to support that. So we went down there to actually support the clergy, because the clergy are the ones who, in some ways, they deliver many of the services that happen. There's almost no governmental support out in the bush, so to speak. For example, there's a governmental clinic in Luolo, which usually runs mostly out of their medicine in the first week of an allotment, which means they're pretty tough for at least the next 3 weeks, and if somehow the medicine doesn't come through, for the next months. So it can be quite tough. And it became such an obvious need that we decided we would support an additional clinic out there and make sure that it was funded for at least 3 years. The hope is that it will be passed on to the people of the nation, that they will pick up and support it, become self-supporting. But within days of opening, it saved three people's lives. And, you know, it's some of the medicines that are necessary are very simple. Malaria medicines that take care of infections in eyes that would make someone go blind if they don't get it, but it's simple medicine. It's nothing complicated. To speak about the church in South Sudan, you have to talk a little bit about the history. South Sudan has been largely Christianized, and it started fairly strongly, I think, in the late 1800s, but it came on much stronger in the 1930s and 40s. And there was a number of missionaries that went in and made quite a difference there. Because of that, the church is instrumental into the welfare of the communities because it has places of care and compassion. Mothers Union is strong in South Sudan. They do a lot of caring for people. There's an awful lot of work, for instance, to do with grief, because 28 years of war, everybody has lost more than one person in their family, and some of it in horrific circumstances. So that there's a lot of comfort given by the church across trying to deal with some of these issues. Also, Bishop Anthony, who is the Bishop of Kejukeji, is fairly forward-looking. He's trying to make this make his church go well, and also to make it an integral part of the community. And so the church also works with schools. There are a number of church schools, and very often a church has a school, like we do here, and where not only do they learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they do learn their faith as well. I'd like to talk a little bit about the experience of going. Stepping into that culture is so radically different from where we live, not only in the fact that the levels of poverty are radically different. I mean, almost everybody is, by this country's standards, is poverty-struck. But it's also, there's different language, and so that there's a great deal of getting used to something new. And it takes you out of your comfort zone and makes you be more alert, aware, and in a way needing to connect. And frankly, the people there were lovely. They greeted us. I mean, if you saw the welcomes, we look rather staid by comparison. I mean, we were welcomed with dancing and song, and songs with the school choir singing, "We welcome you" in Bari, which is the local language, and also in English. "We welcome you, we welcome you, Jesus, we welcome you as Jesus' friends." All of these songs were going on. It was tremendous welcome. And of course, there was food as a mandatory part of the welcome. People were wonderful. One of the things that happened for us as a team is that we started to pray together. And stepping into the new place, we were a little bit concerned how it would go, whether we'd be able to do a good job and all of those things. And as we started to pray, we were struck by laughter. We literally started laughing. And someone would say, but this is serious. And we'd start laughing harder. And it wasn't out of disrespect. It was just out of a great sense that actually the things we were praying about, God had already taken care of. And we were worrying. And that wasn't, we didn't need to worry any. And it was an extraordinary experience. And most of us had gone down there having had a bit of a rough route before, either in the month or the year before. And it was a time of just being lifted up into joy. And true laughter is a great, great medicine. And when we arrived there, that joy continued. And the clergy who came were very hungry to be taught. They needed help to do what they're doing in their jobs. They needed to know, how do I actually train someone to follow Jesus? And it's not that we were experts, but we were able to raise some issues, talk about the heart of a discipler. What's in your heart in order to be able to do that well? And as we did that, there was a noticeable deep appreciation and change in the community. I definitely would love to go back another time for some other purpose or another teaching of a different kind. The five of us who went down talked about how would we feel when we got back to English culture? Because we had lived in a place, we'd lived comfortably enough in the bishop's house, which was rather more polished than some. We even had a toilet. But we wondered how we'd feel when we came back to the relative luxury and the relative choice, really. In Sudan, they're happy if they get a meal. Here, do I choose between lamb, fish, or steak? And while I certainly wouldn't choose the lack of choice that they have, it does make you think about the amount of time we spend worrying about what we're going to eat or what we're going to do today. It seems to be that life in Sudan is a little bit more basic. You get up and you work because you need to. You eat if there's food. If you don't, you wait till there is, but you continue on working. I've come back appreciating clean water. You could not drink the water there unless it was bottled. We drink nothing but bottled water. Having water that we can drink is just a wonderful boon. I was struck too, personally, Jacob Hasluyt, the Dutch missionary, did a talk, and in one of the things he said was, discipleship is not likely to happen very well if the pastor isn't full on board for it. And while I've always thought it was really important, I've always been kind of not putting it forward very much. And so it gave me a little bit of a kick up the backside to say, okay, Andrew, how can we do this here so that we become those strong people of God that we're called to be?